This is the Hervoye Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We've made it to hour three, and it's being reported that the Pogues bass player Daryl Hunt is dead at 72. I recall going to a Pogues concert probably like 20 years ago in Chicago, and wouldn't you know, Shane McGowan, the singer, if I remember his name correctly, who likes to drink, he couldn't make the show because he was intoxicated. And the band told us, you know, you can either get your refund, $30, or you can stay and watch us play without Shane. And of course, I stayed, and it was a great concert. And so, yeah, I saw Daryl play some 20 years ago. It's sad, but we all have to leave this earth at some point in time. Italy has launched monkeypox vaccination campaign, and so a number of countries are trotting out the monkeypox vaccines. I've mentioned this before with James here, James Guzman, my weekly guest on TNT, that people in Mexico City as well were demanding that the government do something about monkeypox and bring out the jabs. And so some Stockholm syndrome for you there. I will guess that they're not going to be as successful this second time around with these injections. We've got, it's been reported that a number of people are saying that the Mar-a-Lago raid will boost Trump's expected 2024 run. This will be something I'll be talking about with my guest. But yeah, I've got a crazy scenario theory. I think Trump is going to come back and win, but I think things are going to start getting crazy from there. We're all going to have to see what happens, but we're really in the twilight zone. Now we've got Steven Seagal. He's apparently making a documentary about the conflict in Donbass. He's talked with prisoners of war at a pre-detention center out there. He is a Russian citizen. He was awarded, people can find the video, he got from Putin himself, awarded citizenship, which that's kind of cool. So yeah, Steven Seagal is out there in Russia. And what else do we got that's really, oh, we had a, during a speech at the Arab African Conference in Egypt, a famous Saudi diplomat, Mohammed Al-Qahtani, just dropped dead while he was giving a speech. I wonder if it was from an adverse event or it happens to everyone. Nothing too much really more to tell you. So, oh, and Pelosi did say China is one of the freest societies in the world, although I think she may have meant Taiwan, to be fair. So, and let me just remind you as well, if you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity, TNT Radio can help you promote it. Just visit the What's On Events calendar on the website, that's tntradio.live, submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Real talk when you need it most.
It's the topics that matter to me.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I am joined once again, as I am every week, with my Canadian guest, Terry Wolf, who's an author. His second book is Fire in the Rabbit Hole. He's working on his third book. Actually, I don't think it's his second book. We talked about it last time. He's written some stuff on video games earlier on that he had even been interviewed by, I think, New York Times and other papers about, related to Metal Gear, the video game. But he's big on TikTok. I keep seeing his clips being posted by just yesterday, today. His clips are still doing the rounds and big alt media platforms. Terry Wolf from FEMA Region 11 out there up in Canada. In North American Union. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me back on. There's a lot to talk about today, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, I don't know where you want to start. There's the stuff with Trump, with Alex Jones you wanted to talk about as well. What's most pressing or most intriguing from your view?
For me, the most interesting thing happening right now is the whole discussion of the red pilling that's happening because of this, because of the Alex Jones trial and the Trump raid. I'm just seeing everywhere now, this apparently has been the 1-2 punch necessary to get people who weren't particularly energized to now be deeply invested in, you know, getting rid of Biden or whatever they think the solution is going to be. It's one of these things where the outrage is now reaching a boiling point, and that's exactly where they want people, I think. So this is where things could become very interesting.
You've been having some great comments on your Twitter feed. Let me see if I can find where is it? Someone said there are a number of people on the right saying things like, I'm thinking the Dems are trying to reelect Trump because this is just going to get a lot more people angry on the right backing Trump. But you said that I think the deep state is trying to stoke an ultra conservative fascist backlash, and this is one of my fears. We're kind of moving to the extremes of the pendulum, where we're now on one extreme of the pendulum, this sort of Soviet Bolshevik leftist wokeist globalist democratic regime. But my fear is that we go then to the extreme of the right, you know, if Trump comes and wins in 2024, and then we could, either way, we could be living under a tyranny. You know, what are your thoughts going forward?
Yeah, well, I wrote about exactly this in my book, Fire in the Rabbit Hole. It's pretty much the central theme of the whole book, is this idea of the end game kicking in once the corruption gets bad enough and people feel like they have no more legitimate choices for how to resolve any problems in politics and society legally. They want to get to a point where it's totally hopeless and people jump to extremes. The left, you know, sort of got into a fever pitch just by the media. So they're already on board. A lot of them are already on board with just anything goes. They don't care if it's criminal, just get rid of Trump, get rid of the wrong think. And the right has been very passive and very trying to stay the good guys and trying to, you know, because they know that the left will overreact if they do something. And clearly there's stuff like, you know, the Fed surrection and these sort of false flag events and things where they're trying to bait conservatives into doing something so that they can then crack down on them, persecute them. And so the right has been very patient, I guess you could say. But I think what they're trying to do is really squeeze them economically and legally and everything with this IRS surge of tens of thousands of IRS agents now being hired at the same time that Alex Jones is being destroyed financially in a very kangaroo court show trial, which that is legitimately disgusting to see how that was handled. I'm not even a fan of Alex Jones. In my book, I talk about how I don't think he's particularly controlled opposition, but that he's being used for a lot of these ploys. And so, yeah, I think they wanted to get to the point of hopelessness, and then they can start to plant more and more ideas of what we need to do about it. What is the solution? And we have yet to see that, but that's where things get interesting.
Well, yeah, you made another comment saying, well, so the right now says the IRS and FBI needs to be abolished. And this is shortly after the left says the Supreme Court needs to be abolished because of their rulings. And it's interesting how every national institution is supposed to be abolished. And again, you make these really insightful insights. I guess we're like now they've gotten us sort of in a game theory way on the left and right. Everyone kind of to agree that we need to abolish all institutions. You go back to technocracy. This is what technocracy is. They don't want any human beings or politicians running the show. They want AI. They call it algocracy, ruled by algorithm software, technocrats, experts. You don't need any of this stuff. And you know. And you also pointed to a very insightful comment made by Spiros Kouras, who I was on his program 2 years ago before he got deplatformed. But he says, before you can fully implode a country or world order, you must delegitimize it so people lose confidence in the system. This tactic, coupled with a series of well-timed emergencies, could contribute to the acceptance and transition into a new system of control. That's the whole Build Back Better, Great Reset. You got a scorched earth, you know, burn down the first operating system to bring in the new. And as well, I saw a clip of Steve Bannon. I think he was speaking at CPAC, and he was saying, I mean, this was going viral, this excerpt of his speech, that the Federal Reserve is no longer needed, and one of the causes, you know, one of the biggest problems. And of course, it's like, yes, that's true, but the timing again is so suspicious, because at the same time, I'm hearing speeches where they're talking about CBDCs being built on Bitcoin blockchain, and again, the timing is just uncanny. Where, I mean, what it makes sense that they would do away with the Federal Reserve to make way for, you know, maybe a new institution or no institution, where they're going to have this, you know, digital CBDC system, maybe run by the IMF or you know, the Bank of International Settlements. So, you know, any thoughts there?
Well, exactly. And this is what I talk about in my book. I have and I think this is very scripted. The timing is everything. That's what I said in my book as well, Fire in the Rabbit Hole, because the QAnon movement really sort of died off. And then it sort of, but the community that it knit together stuck around and has its own belief. And you can go on Rumble, especially in some of these platforms. And I'm totally for them having free speech. They should be able to say whatever they want. I don't want them to be censored. But, you know, they are promoting this idea of the storm. The storm is coming. There's this great day of justice that's going to come, and it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be military tribunals. It's going to be the great awakening, but it's going to be also this revenge fascist takeover. And so that's where I think the scripting of this, the timing of it, and because you time out certain things together and it multiplies the effectiveness of it. And obviously leading up to the midterms, this is, you know, apparently the things that they were looking for, these files that they were looking for, that Trump had, you know, they've wanted it since February. That's what I've read. And yet they do it now, the day after Alex Jones gets his huge fines and he's basically forced to go bankrupt and shut things down. You know, this is scripting, and I'm curious what you think. You know, how high do the stakes have to be before it goes from being political theater to something else? Because to me, this is still political theater, even if real damage is being done. But it's like a Soviet system is still political theater, even though real people are dying and there's genocide. It's still a facade. It's still not, nobody's being honest about it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I feel we are now transitioning. I mean, I was just reading the tweets from a lot of smart people. Maybe I could just rattle off some of them from yesterday, just commenting on all of this. Let me just do a quick here, you know, Michael Recknewald, who I've interviewed, he says, this is a shot across the bow to warn all dissidents of this Soviet-style regime what's in store for them if they don't comply. General Spalding, Robert Spalding, says, really interesting to see where this country is headed. I think our republic is in grave danger. Michael Krieger, who's well-known in the investing field, he says, 10 years ago, I knew what my role was in all of this. I had to warn people about where we were headed, and I did that to the best of my ability. Well, now it's all here. He says, I'm not sure what my role is anymore, so I'm just raising the next generation and tending to the land. For now, Thomas Massie has been vocal in third world countries and banana republics. They prosecute the former president's leaders and their staff. Right now, we look beneath them. We are in a race to the bottom. Renowned investor Jeffrey Gundlach says, August 6th, CPAC backs Trump 69%. August 7th, Senate votes to double IRS agents. August 8th, FBI raids Trump. So you can, again, see the trend there. And Gonzalo Lira, who I spoke to not long ago, he said, just woke up to hear Trump's Mar-a-Lago compound was raided. That, coupled with the Jones trial, show trial, and the 87,000 new IRS agents. Ameribros, he says, the regime is going full tilt totalitarian, and you're the one they'll be going after. I'm telling you, get out now. So a lot of smart people are saying the same things. Jim Rickards, well-known author, saying the same thing. Tulsi Gabbard now talking about the IRS coming for small businesses, entrepreneurs, and hardworking Americans. So it really doesn't look good, and I feel like we are in the transition towards going from political theater to something very serious, to real tyranny. We're going to take our first break. Terry, again, your website is wolfpox.com and winterchristian.substack.com. We'll be right back on TNT.
Dolores Cahill on TNT Radio.
Give us an update from the Netherlands, and then if you wanted to touch as well on the worldwide news that we've seen about the farmers uprising in the Netherlands in the last few weeks.
Exactly. Yeah, we are now in the spotlight of the world, so to say. The farmer uprising is carrying on, and it's been carrying on now for 6 weeks, I believe, and they're not slowing down. It is coming head to head. We see a lot of extreme framing, a lot of undercover police trying to incite violence, trying to start fires on the highway and blame the farmers for it. And what is so magnificent about this uprising is that they have a huge public support, and they were talking about 70 to 80% of the whole Dutch population standing behind the farmers.
Weekends with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A lot of people may not agree with us right now, but there may come a time when they actually have an issue that affects them, that they don't have the freedom to choose. And if we don't preserve it, we won't have it.
Get to see this for yourself.
We begin this new week with an extraordinary moment in our history. 18 days into this truck convoy, and the federal government invoked a security measure that goes beyond anything seen in this country in the last 50 years.
Banks will be told to freeze the accounts of anyone helping finance the protests. And the owners of vehicles jamming streets will be directly targeted.
Trucking for Freedom, Chapter 1, How We Got Here. Visit truckingforfreedom.com.
The new communism is COVIDism. Mandating that the truth be told, this is TNT Radio.
We're back with Terry Wolf of wolfpox.com and winterchristian.substack.com. You can find him on Twitter at wolfpox. That's like the animal, wolf, W-O-L-F, pox.com. And to talk about QAnon for a moment as well, I found on my Telegram channel, where I've got almost 10,000 subscribers, I don't know if it's the bots or what's going on, it's just relentless. The amount of these QAnon bots and this QAnon stuff, pushing QAnon and people pushing all of these QAnon channels, I feel like it hasn't gone away. It's died down for a moment, but I think we're going to see a resurgence of this QAnon stuff. And you've been posting some interesting stories that you've found as well, apparently, where someone lost, they lost their Vancouver home related to some QAnon conspiracy. But I think it's all part of some military occult type of military intelligence occult operation that's still ongoing. What's your view?
Yeah, this is sort of the nexus of exactly what I was predicting in my book, Fire in the Rabbit Hole.
And because all these different rabbit holes seem to be leading to the same thing. And that's why it's named Fire in the Rabbit Hole, is that these different, supposedly different New Age stuff and CERN and quantum physics and all these things are joining together right now, and it's going to join more and more together to create that great awakening. And my theory, I have a hypothesis on this, is that it is military intelligence. I believe the most likely person to be sort of spearheading it, or maybe he's just the most visible part of it, is Steve Pachinik, who is an author of Tom Clancy novels, but he was Assistant Secretary of State under Kissinger for like four different presidential administrations. He's been on the Alex Jones show many times, including in 2020, and he was talking there very openly about how the federal government needs to be broken down. All the federal institutions basically need to go away. They're too corrupt. They can't be fixed. And there needs to be what he called a devolution of power down back to the state level, and that, and almost just to the local level, to the district level, and that there should be the military and local government. There should be basically nothing in between there. No Congress, no Senate, no federal sort of agencies or institutions. And that was his solution. And he was just promoting it openly on the Alex Jones show. It's a very strange thing to hear him say, but the more this happens, you know, and I also believe that Steve Pachinik is the man behind Q. I think he's the original Q, whether it evolved from there or not. I make the argument in the book for why I think that's the case. I think he's the perfect person to have created that idea. But that this is where, with the Great Awakening happening, it's all about losing faith in everything that came before. That's what the New Age is about, too. It's about traditional religion isn't good enough anymore. Traditional institutions aren't good enough anymore. Everything we thought we knew is wrong. And the Great Awakening is not just a correction down back to constitutional powers. I see a bunch of libertarians on Twitter trying to say, you know, yes, let's get rid of the FBI and the IRS because they're not in the Constitution and we're just going to be libertarian. And I think there's a libertarian revolution happening, but I think it's a very much a, you know, it's something much bigger and darker than that, which is the storm, which is this sort of connective tissue between all these different groups and rabbit holes, is the idea that there's this big backlash that's going to happen. The good guys are finally going to strike back. We're going to take down all the pedophiles. We're going to take down all of the insiders. Everything that's corrupt is going to get destroyed all at once, and then we are going to have this rebirth of America. And I don't see in any way, I know there's a lot of people who think America is just going to collapse and slowly devolve into, you know, the globalist security state, but I think that's more of a red herring, a scare tactic to rally the troops, the National Guard, the insiders in the military, everyone to trigger that backlash that eventually is going to happen. And Trump is at the center of it. So, I mean, you have Dick Cheney just coming out a couple days ago saying that Trump is the greatest threat to, what did he say? In our nation's 236-year history, there's never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump, is what he said. You know, that's Dick Cheney saying this, saying he tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He's a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election. He lost big. I know it. He knows it. And most Republicans know it. So you have Dick Cheney coming out and demonizing him, and which obviously, I don't think Dick Cheney's so stupid he thinks that most people trust him. So it's kind of also setting up Trump as being the savior figure, the chosen one. He's the biggest threat to the republic ever. When Dick Cheney says it, that's actually a big boost. You know, you can't get a better promotion than that. So,
yeah, I call him Darth Vader. And again, the timing, you just made me realize we were talking about this like I can't recall when that video came out, some days ago, a week ago. But now in hindsight, you know, it's 2020. Think about it. Dick Cheney came out saying that, kind of building the case, and then the raid comes on Trump. It's almost like, you know, obviously he knew he was just playing his part, putting out that scare on Trump right before he was going to be raided. We're going to take a quick news update. We will be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Donald Trump posted to his social media platform an eerie apocalyptic ad calling America a nation in decline, while also promising a political future for himself where he says the best is yet to come. The leaders of Estonia and Finland want fellow European countries to stop issuing tourist visas to Russian citizens. Taipei's foreign minister says that China is using its large-scale military exercises around Taiwan to prepare for an invasion of the self-governed island.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
I hope you enjoyed that cue drop. You had this story from Canada that just came out. Karen Liu claimed her mortgage debt was forgiven because of a non-existent law called Nesara Gesara. So she told a judge that her mortgage debt had been completely forgiven, and she invoked, it says, a two-decade-old conspiracy theory about a New World Order that has recently resurfaced. She appealed a foreclosure order on her Vancouver home on the basis that something called Nesara Gesara had been enacted. And all credit card, mortgage, and other bank debt would be wiped out in a jubilee of forgiveness. She described it as a pending New World Order that has its roots in the U.S. Nesara, but has evolved to a global movement, Gesara. I mean, it's gone too far, I think, and people are, yeah, I don't know what to say. It's this whole QAnon thing. It's working, I think. Well, but thoughts on that, but also this storm that's supposedly coming. Trump, I guess the same day or the next day after he was raided, he put out this video that seemed very optimistic and saying the best is yet to come. So he seems very confident that he'll return to the helm. What do you think is going to look like, you know, the next 2 years?
Well, the Nesara thing is one of these rabbit holes. I have a whole chapter on sovereign citizens and this idea that you can just get out of debts and mortgages and stuff if you just, you know, assert your rights as a sovereign citizen, and sort of this fantasy land of being able to trick the courts by just sort of saying the right magic words. And this goes into the whole, again, this goes into the whole idea we talked about the other day of magic words being something where they talk about real legal and metaphysical power you can get by saying the right things and knowing the secret codes of the laws, where they say one thing but they mean another thing. And it's this post-truth world that they're building, and they want people to go down the rabbit hole, and they want it to lead to all these dead ends and make people more desperate. What was the other question you had on where the future is going on this?
Yeah, like there's a we may have talked about this before, but there's just an absolutely fascinating Twitter account called Donnie Darkened, and I've kind of been attracted to his sort of scenario where Trump will return. And seemingly, we've talked about this before. He lays it out real well, right? where Trump will sort of, you know, we'll see him come back and take down a lot of these corrupt institutions, and people will be sort of happy. Then I have a fear that maybe in the process, the Trump presidency will become authoritarian, and then we're gonna be sort of back to square one. And that's kind of the storm. I don't know. How do you kind of see things going forward?
Well, I did some research into the talking points of the storm and what's supposed to be involved in it for my book. And Lynn Wood is a good example of somebody who was talking about that. And he compared the situation with Trump to, I forget who the president was when they dropped the nukes on Japan. I think it was it Truman?
Yeah, Truman.
He was comparing it to that and saying that Trump is still in power. He's still the president. He never lost the election. He just allowed Joe Biden to pretend to be the president so that he could draw out all the corruption. And then when the storm happens, that's when basically they'll have compiled a list of all of the traitors, and that there's no middle ground. You either have to be completely pro-Trump or you're against him. You're either with him or against him. There's no middle ground. You can't be a neutral person. And so they're trying to remove the middle ground from every scenario and every political topic so that we can't have proper discourse and we can't use logic anymore. We can't trust anybody anymore and get things to a fever pitch on both sides and then, you know, unleash the quote unquote storm, which of course you can have all these false starts, false flags, blame groups, and it'll just be like backfiring on veterans or bikers or whoever it is that ends up taking the bait and going for this idea that we're going to storm the Capitol or whatever it is they have in mind. But ultimately, I do think in the next couple of years, we will have a situation that is desperate enough that military veterans will, whether it's veterans or active military, there's going to be a point at which it's considered to be treason what's going on, and soldiers take a vow to defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. That's a big thing in the QAnon world, is the idea that they have a vow that they've taken to remove corruption if it's destroying the Republic, and I think that's going to be activated somehow. If Trump is sort of the focal point of that, then it, you know, the persecution of Trump would obviously be a perfect setup for that. And where I think that leads is a sort of purging. I wouldn't be surprised if there was outright military tribunals and assassinations, and things really devolve into bloody chaos. And then at that point, you can have something like a civil war. I don't think there's much of a civil war in the cards physically, but I think that's where you get the phase after that is really where both sides have become so irreconcilable that that's where the collapse, it happens, an invasion could easily happen. They wanted to have like a full existential crisis that will top World War II, and it'll just become this point of no return, so that when it happens, the next generation, the young generation, will remember that as being something they never want to go back to again. No more political parties, no more democracy, no more free markets, no more institutions and representatives and all this stuff. Like, they're setting it up for a permanent destruction and rebirth as, I'm guessing, just a technocratic military sort of occupational high-level sort of military intelligence running everything with local government, and that ties into the whole communitarian idea that you don't have the smart villages or whatever they are. They want a permanent reset, and it is going to have to get way beyond this point. This is still just early, you know, phase of just stoking the fire. It's not really even starting to kick off yet. So I envision this stuff in the book. I sort of do an imagination of how far it could go. And
I literally think that the post-truth thing, where you get into alien theories, you get into quantum physics, CERN is a big one, the idea that we're switching timelines as CERN activates. That happened in July, and I predicted that there's going to be a lot more crazy events happening after July because CERN was activated, and that's always part of their QAnon sort of level thinking where they can bend space-time and crazy things can happen. So I really think that we're going to delve into the world of the totally irrational, and it's going to be religious and cult-like going forward.
Yeah, just to add that I'm seeing a lot of rhetoric, again, more moving towards some sort of violent confrontation, just following the raid, just people knee-jerks, you know, it's a knee-jerk response or reaction where they're talking about guns and civil war and revolution. So I feel we are on that path. If we actually get there or not, who knows? But I've mentioned this before, that we're no longer, people have been complacent for many decades. Things have been relatively normal in the U.S. domestically, but I feel like we're going to see something that we've never seen before, something that you only see in movies, I guess. Even Whitney Webb, she made an interesting comment. Someone said, it's almost as if the federal government is trying to push people to the edge to incite violence. And she says, the war on domestic terror isn't going to start itself. So it's like the powers that be, we know how, you know, order out of chaos, they create states of emergency, they create wars, and then steer them for their own purpose, because war is the best way to manage society, to remake it, to change economic structures, you know, social engineering, political systems. That's why you've got the report from Iron Mountain in the late 60s, which talks about that, and they discuss maybe they don't want to use war anymore, and they're trying to look for a substitute instead of war, where they don't get the consequences of war, but they get the effect that they need in terms of restructuring everything, where they can control things, but without blowing the world up. And that makes you think a lot about biological warfare, or even if it wasn't a virus, COVID, and how they've managed without a war so far to restructure the entirety of society. We're going to take our second cue drop here. We've been talking to Terry Wolf, his website, wolfpox.com, and winterchristian.substack.com. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
You are the pollution they want to eliminate. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
I'm not making this up. The headline in Scientific American, human pee is a problem pollutant and, quote, can contribute to warming. So not only is your human breath, you exhale carbon dioxide, a pollutant, now your urine or your pee is a primary climate warming agent. Your pee's nitric oxide can contribute to warming via the greenhouse effect and cause acid rain. The solution has to be simple. Stop peeing. Ladies and gentlemen, they will not give up. The climate activists will continue to scare you about climate change in every and any conceivable way. Now, when you go pee, you are allegedly a human pollution machine that is heating up the planet. The voiding of your bladder must be curtailed for the sake of the planet. So says the science. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
For sale. One deep fat fryer, one industrial fridge freezer, one set of knives, cleaver missing, several hundred plastic forks, one dishwasher, mid-30s, has own teeth, all is new, one careless owner.
Poor hygiene is bad for your business. Fortunately, the Food Standards Agency has a range of tools that can help you manage food hygiene and keep your customers. Visit food.gov.uk/goodbusiness.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We're back on our final stretch with Terry Wolf of Wolfbox.com and WinterChristian.substack.com. He's got a fantastic TikTok account. And I think by now your clips have been seen by many millions. I do not doubt it at all. Like I said, I saw you the other day, again, your clip doing the rounds somewhere on Twitter or Telegram. It seems the ones that have become the most popular are where you're talking about the green agenda, the climate lockdowns. And I'm reading a story just out from Euronews. I mean, it's just unbelievable how far they're pushing. Just yesterday, I read that in Spain now, if your dog or cat gets pregnant, they can fine you 10,000 euros. And they're going to, wow. It's going to be the first European country with a list of which pets you can have and you can't have. And the person who came up with the law, their literal job position is the minister of, well, two things. I forget the first social something, but Agenda 2030. Literally, it's this Spanish minister for UN Agenda 2030 telling you, if your pet gets pregnant, that's 10,000 euro fine. And I was just saying, I can't wait till, they do that for humans. And here's another article that says rainwater everywhere on Earth is unsafe to drink due to forever chemicals. So it's like, even rainwater. So it's like, I guess then they give you the idea, you can't collect rainwater. You want to get it only from the government, where they put the fluoride in it. So what's any latest thoughts on the green world order?
I mean, I have so many. My TikTok account really shifted into that. While I was doing my study of prophecy and revelation and stuff like that, to me that does tie in, but you don't have to believe anything about the Bible to see how insane the green movement is. Like I've said many times, I think the green world order is about much more than climate alarmism, but it is the next, it's the religion that's going to go with the Great Reset and the Great Awakening at the same time. And sort of like everything converges at the same point, even though they seem like opposites. It's a Hegelian dialectic where on the one side you have the liberal sort of politically correct, trust the science, World Health Organization, big establishment, communist sort of nexus. And on the other side you have this, let's go live off the land, let's decentralize, let's have just Bitcoin, let's be such libertarians and such agrarian, back to basics conservatives, paleo conservative sort of people. We don't want this system anymore. Both of them are going to end up promoting the same idea, that is, we should have, maximized freedom within this sustainable environment, and we're going to destroy the old system and create a new one, because the left doesn't like the system as it exists either. They want to reinvent it as this smart international globalist technocracy where smart scientists run everything. And so I kind of think once the system collapses, you're really talking about a post-apocalyptic world where the green agenda is the only thing that has really remained. It is about Mother Earth worship, and this idea that
even human lives are, you know, worthy to be sacrificed for the good of Mother Earth, because we are the pollution and all that kind of stuff. But there's also this idea that experimental drugs, giving up on any sort of hard ideology at all. I finished reading that 21 Lessons for the 21st Century book by Harari and Yuval Harari. And his conclusion of that book is exactly that, that we are in a post-truth age already, that no ideology or religion is good enough anymore. Only science is good, and it's the only thing we can trust. And he doesn't say, you know, unlike what people tend to say, he doesn't argue that we should have a world government. He says that there should be a spiritual consciousness sort of revolution, a new sort of world religion that gets everybody to elevate their consciousness and fix climate change. And basically, we need to stop being sentimental and ideological and just have this this other solution, which, you know, we think of Klaus Schwab when we think of this. We think of big government, but it's not really a big government argument that he's making. So I think the Green World Order is about collapsing the current system, making it impossible to ever go back, and having especially the young generation, I keep saying this, what we think, you know, as 30-plus-year-olds doesn't matter. You know, they're going to try to find a way to kill us or silence us. They want to depopulate. They're going to try to get rid of everybody who's attached to the old system of doing things. And the sort of vision that I outline in my book on this is that you picture a 12-year-old who is seeing all this, and they go through all of this, and by the time they're an adult, you know, society is basically in ruins, and they're going through these cities some sort of classic post-apocalyptic movie, and they're just witnessing sort of the hubris of mankind, the idea that there were going to be robots ruling everything, and technology was going to be, you know, the heart of everything going forward. But really, that generation is going to have this sense that we will never go back to this again. The cities will be monuments to, like, graveyards to the old world. And they will want to move away from that and have, you know, their sustainable, small, sort of feudalist spiritual technocracy on the side. And there, for that, you have to have a point of no return. And I think everything is expendable. Pelosi and all the politicians, Clintons, they don't care about any of these. They're all expendable. There's a bigger agenda even than them. It's the idea that you destroy the old system, like you said, order out of chaos. But it doesn't have to be a strong centralized government in order to accomplish that. You can have the billionaires go and hide away in their resorts around the world, their underground bunkers or whatever. And then when the apocalypse is over, they can come back as being the only people who have resources and knowledge and information and control. And you can sort of restart from there. And that ties into Burning Man, this sort of Silicon Valley festival where they start with a desert, empty desert, and they build up a city out of nowhere, and they restart from nothing. It's sort of the symbolic, you know, process that they do to show that they can rebuild from nothing very easily. And there's a lot of foreshadowing in society about what they want to have happen.
Yeah, and what you were talking about, I mean, it's a lot of people have been talking about this for ages, the end of the world as we know it, many films, you know, Mad Max and all of this stuff. In one way, it's hard to imagine this actually coming about, but what you said, that they're taking us to a point of no return. And for those of us that have been following this Great Reset project the last 2 years and what they're doing right now as we speak, you can kind of see them doing it. If you think about it, destroying the supply chains, just destroying all of the farms, like in Netherlands. So destroying food production, taking offline gas-powered vehicles so manufacturers won't even be making them, and then making them basically, you know, gas stations illegal, no more oil extraction. I remember my colleague here in TNT, Michael Parker, because he comes from a family that's worked in oil in Texas, that if you stop investing just for a year or two or three or something like that in the oil industry, it's over. It's gone. You can't really come back from that. And everything else that they're destroying, the financial system, it really feels like right now they're taking us to that point of no return, where all of these systems just collapse and then we can't go back to it. And now we're sort of stuck in this primitive lifestyle. We got 3 minutes to midnight. Any final thoughts, Terry?
Yeah, my final thoughts on this is that it's very uncomfortable for most people in our sort of situation. We're rational people, and you especially, you're deeply, you know, situated in the realm of geopolitics and traditional sort of analysis of these things. And one of the things that I've been trying to do, and I think it's a reason why my TikTok account became popular and goes viral, is that I try to show how the crazy, irrational side of this is just beginning. So a lot of the things that you think, well, that can't happen because, you know, people will see that that doesn't make sense. That's irrational. A good argument would stop that from happening. Now, when you go on TikTok, you see young people buying into every single ridiculous flat earth, quantum meditation, out of body experience, whatever. They're into every single thing that is occult, that is mysterious, mysticism, spirituality. There's a whole other side to this. The shadow side of this whole thing taps into the irrational. And so if people who are listening to this don't think this is within the realm of possibility and that they can't pull this off, you're not. Q is just a good sort of sample of that, of how irrational things can get and still have a community built around it that is very passionate and have a very real effect. So purges and civil wars and the murder and the destruction of everything, it's not going to be driven by rational self-interest. It's going to be driven by tribalistic cults. And I've always been interested in that. And I think more people need to be paying attention to that as well and warning people about it so that people you know don't get into it and that just you're not surprised when it happens.
So people don't lose their houses because of Nasara and Gesara. It's always fascinating chatting with Mr. TikTok Terry Wolf. It's wolfpox.com and winterchristian.substack.com. That's it for me today. Be well, Terry. I'm signing off here from the Adriatic Sea. Keep on trucking on here on TNT Radio.